Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, may show forth your power among all peoples to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy.' For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 71 will be read in unison. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the clutches of the evildoer and the oppressor. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young. I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. My praise shall always be.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. But they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship of with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. About 10 years ago, I was sitting at my desk in my office at the church where I served in Kansas. And one of my parishioners came and stood in the doorway. This man was very faithful. I had become accustomed to seeing his face every Sunday in church. When he wasn't there, I worried. He was in his late 40s, a businessman, happily married with children. But when he came and stood in my doorway in the early afternoon on a weekday, I knew that something was wrong. First of all, he always called if he wanted to make an appointment to see me. And second of all, he never could see me during his work hours. So for him to come by unannounced in the middle of the day, something was off. I remember I looked up, and as he stood in the doorway, his face was very white, like a sheet. He just blurted out his news. "I'm sick." "Mother Kate, the doctors have given me a month, maybe two, to live." "It's pancreatic cancer." I'll never forget his face. He didn't even walk in when he said these words. I came over and took his hand and led him to one of the chairs in my office. And we both cried. I find myself sometimes asking God why. Why do good people have to suffer? Why do some people fall ill and not other people? Is it part of God's plan somehow? Sometimes when people fall ill, they will say, "But it's God's will." Does God will for us to be sick or to suffer pain? Today's gospel gives us great insight into how God perceives human suffering. You see, most of us, although we are Christians, we still understand God in an Old Testament kind of way. What that means is that when something hard happens to us, when we get a really difficult diagnosis, when we lose our job or get a divorce or someone we love dies, our first instinct is always to wonder if God is punishing us. We have this notion of the Old Testament God who would rain down plagues upon human beings. And when there was affliction and when there was suffering, they thought that God was angry. That, my friends, is one of the fundamental reasons why I believe that Jesus came to us, because we did not understand the nature of God. Jesus lived a life to show us God's nature, to show us God's heart in human form. And all throughout Jesus' life, there is not one instance in which he makes a person sick. And there is not one instance in which Jesus punishes a person. Instead, all throughout Jesus' ministry, what does he do? He heals. He wants to make people well. And that is God's desire for us as well. In this gospel passage, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. He's in the middle of telling people about God. His mind is full of whatever lesson he is talking about. And a woman enters the synagogue. The woman is in so much pain that she is bent over. Something is wrong, either with her spine or her abdomen. We have no idea what it was. The scripture does not specify, but it says that she was crippled, bent over, and in pain, and it tells us that this lasted for 18 years. This woman had been in pain and suffering for 18 years. Can you imagine? And as soon as she walks in the door, Jesus stops teaching. He goes right to her. And without explanation, without any pausing for reflection, he heals her immediately. The leader of the synagogue is furious. It's the Sabbath day, he says. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. What the leader of the synagogue doesn't realize is that this is not work for Jesus. This is his very nature. This is who he is, the one who heals. And he can no longer leave that woman in pain. He cannot do it. It is without any thought that he goes to her and heals her. And Jesus says to the leader, without thinking, you lead your donkey to water when it's thirsty on the Sabbath. Why should I not heal this woman who is in pain? In the very beginning, God created you intending for you to be well. When God created us, God intended for us to live in paradise, not to die, not to suffer. But it was we who decided to do things our way. We decided that we could live in a world of our own making. And that is when things started to fall apart. Jesus says to the leader of the synagogue, how can I let this woman who has been bound by Satan for 18 years suffer any longer? He tells us right there that it is not God's doing that she suffers, but it is the work of darkness, of the adversary. It is the work of our fallen world that we suffer. It is not God's will. God does not look to you and say, I want her to be in pain. Illness, pain, suffering are the results of the broken world in which we live. They are not designed or given out by God. But what Jesus does for us is he shows us if we have to live in this broken world where you will die and where you will suffer, he shows us how to do it. How to move through the pain to life itself. Think with me for a moment about how Jesus suffered. When he knew that he was going to be crucified, and it was people, not God, who crucified Jesus. When Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified, he asked God, didn't he? He said to God, please take this away from me. Just like it's okay for all of you when you suffer to say, please, God, take this away from me. Please fix it. God knows that's on your heart anyway. And sometimes miracles do happen. Every Wednesday at 12:10, I do a healing service in Cummings Chapel here at the cathedral. It's one of my favorite times during the week. Sometimes we have 8 people, sometimes we have 20. We have a man who comes every single week who suffers from schizophrenia, and I pray for him every week. We have a woman who's on a waiting list for a transplant. We have people with cancer, people who are grieving. And we ask God to make them better. And sometimes God does, and sometimes we walk with them through the suffering. Do you remember when Jesus suffered? He suffered in front of everyone, didn't he? The cross was not a private event. When Jesus knew that he had to suffer, he took that cross and he walked that walk. And when he needed help, someone took it for him. So too, when you're going through something very hard, don't hide it. Don't keep it a secret. Let other people know that you're suffering, that you're in pain. Ask them to help you carry the cross. Sometimes it's the only way through. One of the things that I love about this little Wednesday service is that every person talks honestly about what they're going through. And at the peace, because it's small, we can hug every single person. We can ask them, how did you get through this week? I was praying for you. Tell me, how are you? Just having someone to be with you when you're hurting, makes such an enormous difference. You know, there's a book that I've been reading by an orthopedic surgeon named Dr. Mary Neal, who is in a kayaking accident and she dies. And then she returns. She talks about experiencing this wellness in heaven, this joy that is something she can't even put in words. It's so incredible. So I know that sometimes God heals us in this life, but if not in this life, God certainly heals us in the next. And my parishioner from Kansas, God didn't heal him in this life, but he lived his last month with such grace and such courage. He had hurt someone, and he called up that man and he told him he was sorry. He called all of his relatives and everyone who had been close to him and told them his diagnosis with frankness and honesty and invited them to come and say goodbye. He told his family, "Thank you. Thank you for my life." He made a will. And with love and integrity, he gave away everything to the people he loved, to the causes he loved, to the church. And when he lay dying, he was free. And was it hard? It was so hard. There's no avoiding that. But it was good. And I do believe that one day I will be heading towards another doorway and I will see him standing there. And I believe his face won't be that white sheet that it was when he told me the news. But I'll see him with a face radiating joy. I look forward to that day, to seeing his face. I look forward to that. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are suffering in any way, for the sick, the lonely, the hungry, and those in pain. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. Lord, in your mercy, bless this cathedral and all who walk through these doors, that we may serve you all our days. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bless the city of Jacksonville, that we may grow and prosper. Lord, in your mercy, give peace in our time, that throughout the world there may be greater understanding among all people. Lord, in your mercy, give us the wisdom and the means to care for this good earth that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy, embrace the souls of all those who have died. Comfort those who mourn. We especially remember Bess Kolish. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died aloud. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We give special thanks for the birth of Sydney Catherine Graves.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will, walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all of our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here. If you're new or visiting, would you raise your hand? We promise we won't make you give a speech. Welcome over here. Welcome to you. Welcome. We're glad you're here. I invite all of you, after this service, find someone that you do not know and say to that person, how can I pray for you this week? Would you do that for me, please? Yes? You're amazing people, and we want the body of Christ to begin to know one another. We're so blessed that you're here. The Vestry had a great retreat this weekend. Vestry members, if all of those who are here at this service, would you stand up, please? Stand up so we can know you. There they are. We're going to make them a tag that says Vestry so you can find them on Sunday morning. Today is Rally Day. It is a wonderful day in which we begin to think about the fall season. Thanks to the ministry of some amazing women, Celicia and Patricia, we have Tolliver Hall looks like a safari. And when you get in there, you're going to get a passport. And you need to go to each booth, and they'll give you a sticker for your passport. If you get enough stickers, you can win a prize like a Jaguar game ticket or chocolate. So I hope you'll come and learn about the different ministries that are here at the cathedral. There's so many wonderful things going on. And we want all of you to come to worship, but also to find a way to serve God, either within or without from this church. So think about your ministry and peruse the safari after church. There's also a great bouncy house, hot dogs, cotton candy, and all kinds of great stuff. Now, next weekend is Labor Day, which is a quiet day for us here. We'll have services at 8 and 10:30. The following Sunday, we begin our fall program. Services will be at 8, 9, and 11. That's beginning on September the 8th. There are lots of classes and offerings going on. Please see your bulletin and try to figure out where you want to be on that good morning. Wednesday night supper and programs begin September the 4th, and chorister programs and all of that on September the 4th. There will be an usher training next Sunday after the 10:30 service, and we are starting our pledge drive on September 8th, and you'll be seeing Mark Richardson. There's Mark right in the back holding a bottle of wine. He's going to have a camera, and he'll be taking pictures of you. So if you see him taking pictures, don't worry. That's part of our pledge drive. And on Friday, we have a free organ concert here. So if you'd like to come and hear the organ, beautiful, beautiful concert. Check out your bulletin for details about that. Now, we have to bless two things before we have Holy Communion. The first is we've had icon painters here this week who have spent all week, 8 hours a day, painting these incredible icons. We're going to bless them, and we'll leave them in front of the altar for those of you who want to see them after church. Icon painters, would you come forward, please? We call this actually writing an icon, and it's done in silence. It's a form of prayer. It's very monastic. And Susan led this group, and you've done a beautiful job. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you that these amazing people have taken the time out of their busy lives and devoted a week to creating an image of Christ. We ask that you would bless these icons now, that your Holy Spirit would move through them so that they could be windows into your presence, tools of prayer, instruments of adoration. May your blessing rest upon them now and always in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for your good work. Did beautiful. And now, all of those of you who are going to teach Sunday school, we need you to come forward, all teachers and youth leaders, youth ministers, adult teachers, children's teachers, come forward, please. And all the children and all the youth, we need you to come and lay your hands on your teachers. We're going to pray for your teachers. Come on, kids. Come on, youth. Teachers, you kneel. Students, you stand near your teacher. Come and find your teacher. That's right. Good. Let's kneel down all around the altar rail. Come all the way around. So teachers are kneeling, students are standing, and they're going to put their hand on a teacher that they like and know or who's going to be leading them this year. Every teacher needs a child or a youth to put hands on. Does everybody have somebody putting? Good girls, come on over here. There you go. You put your hands on a teacher? There you go. Great, thank you. The Lord be with you. Father, we ask that you would bless these teachers, for they have such an important job in this church. They are here to plant seeds of love in the hearts of these children and youth. They are here to develop and foster a relationship between the child and God. And there is nothing more important than this. And so, as the hands of the children and youth fall upon these teachers, I ask you now to bless them. Be in their hands, in their mouths, and in their hearts as they lead and guide students to your presence. and as they teach the stories of Scripture. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us himself. Amen. Thank you all very much. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
Also
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law, and in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily receive the world in his name, serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be unto us in the breaking. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
Amen. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts with faith and thanksgiving. Thank you. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitors. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ be with you to defend you, within you to keep you, before you to lead you, beside you to guard you, and above you to bless you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thank you.